Lori Lightfoot told voters not to vote if they weren't going to vote for her. Lightfoot was talking about her challengers, and she said this.
Any vote coming on the South Side for somebody not named Lightfoot is a vote for Chuy Garcia or Paul Vallis.
That's it.
If you want them controlling your fate and your destiny, then stay home. Then don't vote.
Later, Lori Lightfoot said she misspoke. She said she meant to tell them to please vote by calling 1-800-BITE-ME.
Well, ding dong, the gremlin's gone. Welcome back to Inside Four Walls. I'm Rose James Madison, and Beetlejuice is out. Now, housekeeping at the end of this episode, but to start off with, the northern Michigan area that I stay in lost all power. Fucking love that. And we didn't get it till Tuesday, and then for some reason the internet and the cell towers were all still down for a couple extra days after that, so I'm officially back. Unfortunately, pretty much all of my aquarium animals passed. I was in Ohio when the power went out. As soon as I got back home, too cold for too long, but my snails survived, so, you know, that was the thing I didn't think would make it, but it made it, so my snails, Gucci, it's got a big-ass tank to itself now. Change that eventually, I'm probably gonna get another snail, or another fish. But, sad shit aside, let's get into celebrations. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot ousted. Vallis and Johnston in runoff. Let me zoom in real quick here. Why was it so zoomed out? Oh, I know why. Got it. Paul Vallis and Brendan Johnston will meet in a runoff to be the next mayor of Chicago after voters on Tuesday denied incumbent Lori Lightfoot a second term, issuing a rebuke to a leader who made history as the head of the nation's third largest city. Ooh, yeah, we'll get into her damn legacy. But, let's hop on down here. Got a little video here to watch. This is Ground News, and we have a couple articles to get into. It's just, god damn. Can we just take a moment real quick? Look, like, let's just hop over here real quick. This is Lori Lightfoot. Yeah, this is Lori Lightfoot not even so long ago. 2012. Lori Lightfoot today, dog. Now, all of what I'm about to say following this is allegedly alleged, with all the allegedlys allegedly, where they allegedly belong allegedly. Now, allegedly, I'm going to allegedly allege that drugs and corruption does shit to a person. Selling your fucking soul, dude. Jesus Christ. You know, those jokes about women becoming lesbian only because they get too ugly for men to want to fuck them? Lori Lightfoot really puts a challenge on that stereotype, because you find me a hardened lesbian who hasn't licked a lot of puss in a lot of time, and you put this creature before it, and you tell that lesbian, yeah, here you go. You're gonna see the equivalent of a man in the desert, starving and dehydrated, throw a bottle of water into the distance and reject it. Yeah, ugh, God. I just want to know what the fuck happened. You know, this is from the Windy City Times, but young lesbian lawyer. Damn, dog. By the way, there's like this famous picture of like a young Lori Lightfoot, and that's a Photoshop. She never looked that good. Let's check this out. Let me turn up the volume here.
Let me just do this. So thank you, and thank everyone so much. I feel a lot of love in this room, as I felt every step of the way on this journey. I've called Brendan Johnston and Paul Vallis to congratulate them on their
That wasn't me. That was the footage. I don't know what that is.
Victories in advancing to the runoffs. We were fierce competitors in these last few months, but I will be rooting and praying for our next mayor to deliver for the people of the city for years to come. Thank you.
The cope and the seed. All right. And do we have a different clip to play for you, formidable, first in comedy at BTFO'd that hard. Now we're going to hop over here to a local PBS affiliate, WTTW Illinois, right there in the home over Lightfoot. With, ooh, that's a full, let's just go from here. But, oh, just disclaimer, scrolling down here, 20 hours ago. One day ago, and then over here, one day ago. So, the most recent article is a High Factuality Center article from a local news outlet in the area. So, we're going to go use that. That's how I picked the article to start with today. Spotlight Politics. Vallis and Johnson headed to April runoff. Lori Lightfoot lost her bid for a second term as Chicago mayor Tuesday. As former Chicago Public School CEO Paul Vallis, and Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson advanced to a runoff on April 4th. Quote, quote, "It has been the honor of a lifetime to be mayor," said Lightfoot, the first black woman and gay person to be elected Chicago mayor. Question. So, she's a black woman, but when it comes to being gay, she's not a woman, it's a person. Look, I normally would just write it off, but, you know, with the thing, oh, I don't know, maybe her pronouns are per and son. I just have to double check. Maybe she's one of those fuzzies. Lightfoot spent much of the campaign asking voters to give her a chance to finish the work she started before the COVID-19 pandemic. Please, all the rise, escalate the job you're getting done. What are you talking about? You achieved everything you wanted to. The city's on fire. You carried along the tradition of Democrat rule ruining Chicago since the beginning. What do you mean, Lori? You're just going to blend into the array of shitty, corrupt mayors. Just like what we deal with out here in Detroit, where it's like, yeah, there's Kwame. There's like one guy I liked before him that did one term. Shit. They all kind of just bleed together, don't they? Actually, no, there was one really good mayor of Detroit. I'm blanking on his name right now. I'm not going to go look it up either. For 2019 pandemic. And the economic collapse, it triggered staggering Chicago. But she was unable to overcome the serious headwinds caused by the surge of crime in Chicago that began as the pandemic swept the city and shut down schools and businesses, according to unofficial results from the Chicago Board of Election Commissions. Vallis led Tuesday's race with a 34% lead. Johnson was at 20% and Lightfoot at 17%. BTFO, bitch! Addressing a packed house at an Austin campaign event Tuesday night, Johnson told supporters, quote, "We have shifted the political dynamic in this city from blue to blue." Quote, We are finally going to retire this tired tale of two cities. Johnson said to the loud cheers, quote, "Paul Vallis is the author of The Tale of Two Cities." Oh, well. You're fucking funny, aren't you? In his victory speech, in my victory to the runoff speech, my fucking not first or second place necessarily, but not third. Yes, in your victory speech, Vallis touted his record-leading school districts across the nation and vowed to restore true public safety in Chicago by restoring residents' trust in the Chicago Police Department. Quote, "We will make Chicago the safest city in America." Ooh, buddy. The big fucking check, homie. You better be able to cash that shit. Vallis said, echoing a promise made by Lightfoot throughout the campaign, quote, "I'm running to be the mayor of all Chicago." Our politics team of Heather Sharon, Nick Blumberg, not Bloomberg, but Blumberg, and Joanna Hernandez takes the Chicago municipal election and more. And that is the end of this article. Now, very clean, very sanitized, very nice, very wholesome. Also, don't forget, by the way, their head of the Chicago's head police officer, sheriff or whatever the fuck, he said, now we'll be getting to that too. See, what is it? police superintendent. That's who it is. Now let's hop over here. And this was such a clean, sanitized episode. You know it. You love it. Let's see. Is there a speed thing? Oh, nice.
Garcia Wilson, all out. But where do their voters go? And who is he? The early frontrunner in this historic runoff between Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson. That's the focus of tonight's Spotlight Politics. And joining us are Heather Sherrone and special guests Nick Blumberg and Joanna Hernandez, our extended Spotlight team tonight. Let's start with Mayor Lightfoot. She came out at about 8:45 last night and conceded.
And regardless of tonight's outcome, we fought the right fights and we put the city on a better path. No doubt about it.
That was the mayor behind that head there, Heather Sherrone. So the news of the day, David Brown, her handpicked superintendent, resigning, not unexpected. She stuck with him for 4 years through controversy. Did that doom her reelection prospects?
It didn't help because every other candidate in the race said day one, job one, fire David Brown. And he has basically jumped before he was pushed. And I think it is not something that we should overlook. That pretty much the only thing Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson agree on in terms of public safety was that David Brown had overstayed his welcome here in Chicago. And whoever is Chicago's next mayor, their first job will be to find a new police superintendent.
All right, so very expected news today. And Nick, you were at Brandon Johnson headquarters last night where the...
After the way James Craig just stabbed Detroit in the back to try and become his fucking governor on a failed attempt, I'm sure he's looking for fucking work. Perhaps tap his ass. Just a recommendation. Oh, come on. Fuck off. I know one person. I know one dumb fuck who really was like, oh, Craig's gonna be the governor. Are you retarded? This dumb fucking clown couldn't show up to any fucking event. Furthermore, and by the way, I called that shit early on when he announced, I'm like, he's not gonna show up to any events. He led by saying we need to get the feds involved to help with violent crime in Michigan. You never invite the fucking feds in anywhere because they never leave. You might as well casually invite a couple of rats and some cockroaches into your fucking studio flat, you fuck. Jesus Christ. And then homie was like, I don't know about the whole constitutional carry thing. No reason he even started softening up his stance on it is because fucking Ryan Kelly showed a foot up his ass when he said, hey, yeah, constitutional carry from one end of the mitt to the other. Go fuck yourself. Sorry, I will never skip an opportunity to shit on Craig. What a fucking joke. Great what he did for Detroit. Fucking clownish fucking fool when it comes to gubernatorial candidates. James Stewart was stronger in his 2016 attempt, and that was a fucking joke and a half on its own.
The progressive candidate laid out his vision for tackling disinvestment, Chicago's so-called Tale of Two Cities, before knocking Paul Vallis' record.
This is the truth about Paul Vallis. He has literally failed everywhere he has gone. In fact, Paul Vallis is the author of the Tale of Two Cities.
So he finishes, Nick, about 70,000 votes behind Paul Vallis. What is his path ahead now? I think he started to lay it out in that speech last night in his interview with you tonight. He wants to shore up his progressive bona fides. He wants to peel off votes for other candidates that didn't make the runoff. And he wants to draw a really stark contrast between himself and Paul Vallis. He spent a lot of time last night laying out how his life experiences, growing up with financial hardships, teaching in, you know, low-income communities, have informed his vision for the city. He offered an olive branch to voters of unsuccessful candidates, saying, I'm going to work hard to earn your support, thanking the other candidates who ran, calling it an act of public service, even when they disagreed. And he did go on the offensive against Paul Vallis, saying that his record on education is a failure in Chicago, in other cities where he's been schools chief, like New Orleans. You know, Johnson said that Vallis was responsible for an exodus of black educators, so I think that's going to be his road forward. Whether he can garner enough votes to be the winner in April, that is something I will answer in 5 weeks. Yeah, clearly going to go after Vallis' politics and beanbag, although I wonder if Vallis is going to take the same tack against him. It might not be the strategic choice that he makes. Speaking of Vallis, he came out last night speaking about his Democratic bona fides as well.
I am a lifelong Democrat.
Boo.
And for some of you who remember, one of the most dynamic progressive legislators, Dawn Clark Netsch, she was my mentor and my boss and my friend for 2 decades.
Heather, very clearly defining his progressive bona fides because some have tried to paint him as a conservative. He finishes ahead, but does that necessarily make him the front runner right now?
I don't think so, because every other candidate in the race besides Paul Vallis and Willie Wilson declared themselves to be some form of progressive, which means they are at least open to hearing what Brandon Johnson has to say. And because there was so much media attention on Paul Vallis as the front runner during that first round of voting, we don't know how many votes were cast yesterday against Paul Vallis rather than for another candidate. And Brandon Johnson stands to gain those votes.
Yeah, and some of those votes went to Chuy Garcia, who finished in fourth place. Joanna, you were at Chuy's headquarters. Let's take a look at his concession speech.
To each and every one of you, thank you for believing in me, for believing in our mission, and thank you for everything.
Damn, Chicago's fucked. They say we don't want Jesus here. Get Jesus out of Chicago. Damn, Chicago. Y'all really don't want to be saved. Tell me how y'all feel. Choy Jesus couldn't get in. God damn. God damn, they rejected the saving light of Jesus.
That you left on the field today. Very proud of you.
That I'm proud of you. See, see.
Obviously, he's very well known in progressive circles. Fourth place finish is a big disappointment for him, isn't it?
No, it really is. And, you know, I have to say, I did speak with his family member yesterday, and she was really hoping that Chewy would take the title becoming the first Latino mayor of Chicago, but he fell short. There was a lot of factors that played role into that. I think, and we talked about this before, Paris, that he was banking on getting those votes because of his longstanding career. I mean, he's been in the game for, what, almost 40 years, and I don't know if he showed up in the communities the way that he showed up back in 2015. I do have to say, though, that he did take the time to thank and congratulate Julie Gutierrez, who was becoming the first Latina to represent the 14th Ward, and that has been a big part of the
Completely unrelated. I love Hawaiian shirts. This kid right here single-handedly has one of the coolest Hawaiian shirts I have ever fucking seen. Randomly. Not related at all, but it's a cool fucking shirt.
Crown other winners than he has himself. Oh, he is a congressman.
And has been part of his mission, right? Paving the way for other Latinos and people of color to be in these positions.
All right, so Nick, we've talked to a few alder folks that to win the race is outright, but there's still a lot up in the air because of the runoff. How do you see these council races shaping up? I think it remains to be seen whether there's a big progressive wave. There's a lot of questions about runoff elections, about remaining mail-in ballots that haven't been counted. You know, progressive incumbents had a pretty good night. Progressive challengers or progressives running for open seats, that kind of remains to be seen. You know, for example, in the 14th Ward, that's a big victory for progressives defeating the Ed Burke-backed candidate, but there are other runoffs with really large races where it's going to depend on, you know, whether...
That's about enough of that. I was hoping you'd get more of a sense for who the other two candidates were, but we're going to move on. Right? Yep, we're going to move on. Now, Lori Lightfoot did not take this L laying down, as that clip and that article would like you to believe. Oh, she went on to say, if you're not going to vote for me, don't go out and vote, period. Oh, and then she blames racism and sexism. Please. I love people trying to depict Lori Lightfoot like she took this shit gracefully. Oh, please. Get real. She took this shit like a poor, skinny, petite white chick who's never been laid before takes the entire NBA after party. Didn't take it well, and swelling and bruising to the, ego ensued. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot blames racism and sexism for election loss. Oh, shames.
I'm a black woman in America,
Lightfoot said when asked if she believes she's been treated unfairly.
Of course.
Bitch, you allowed Chicago to crumble. I can't even say that. It's been a shit. It's been a shit city since its inception, but... goddamn, dog. Cry harder. Roberto Wakewell Cruz, my man. He's one of my favorite writers. I read a ton of his articles, so hell yeah. Following the Democrat Party, Democratic Chicago Mayor Mayor Lori Lightfoot being eliminated from Chicago's mayoral race, on Tuesday evening, Lightfoot said that she lost her re-election bid because of racism and sexism. Bitch, please. When asked by a reporter if she believes she has been treated unfairly, Lightfoot said, quote, I'm a black woman in America, of course, before adding that serving as mayor has been the honor of a lifetime. Yeah, exactly. It's so unfair, bitch, that you beat multiple white people to become elected in Chicago. And not only that, you like to think you took credit for Trump not getting for losing the election, right? So, if that's the case, clearly black people have a voice in America. If you're so powerful that you single-handedly played such a major role in not getting reelected, what are you talking about here, former Mayor Lightfoot? And what does this make you? Or if black people are this oppressed, but you got in this position of power, are you like the fucking, you know, house worker? I don't know what you thought I was going to say there, but, you know. Is that what you are? Is that, like, what? There is no way to bring this down where it doesn't end horribly, either for you or the people you're trying to lift out of the mud. And let me tell you, man, it just doesn't fucking work, right? The whole supposition that, oh, I'm an oppressed woman, even though you have all this fucking power. I fucking chuckle at the density of it. When asked by a reporter, or you read that... see, right? Same thing we watched.
Let me just do this. So thank you and thank everyone so much.
I've already watched that. Quote, regardless of tonight's outcome, we fought the right fight and we put the city on a better path. Lightfoot said, path right towards the dumpster fire behind 7-Eleven that's also on fire. Lightfoot has not been afraid to inject race into her politics several times throughout her tenure, including... into the lead-up to the election. Oh, she's going to run again. You fucking know it. Quote, I am a black woman, let's not forget. Like, baby, let me tell you. Let me hear you, sister. Let me fucking smack the side of my head for some stupid fucking reason 6 times. So tell me about you being a black girl in America, baby. I'm gonna get canceled. Oh, who am I kidding? That cancel crowd's getting canceled. Let's not forget. Lightfoot told The New Yorker in an interview that ran last week, quote, certain folks, frankly, don't support us in leadership roles. You mean, like, pretty much all the old, white, rich, deep-pocket people that run the Democrat Party, sort of? Kind of see you as, like, a token? Is that who you're talking about? I'm assuming that's not who you're talking about, but I'm assuming that's who you should be talking about. Lightfoot was officially eliminated from Chicago's mayoral race, having not qualified for the runoff election that is to come. Quote, obviously, we didn't win the election today, but I stand here with my head held high and a heart full of gratitude, Lightfoot said, while touting her administration's non-existent progress on public safety. Lawyer Lightfoot concedes, I will be rooting and praying for the next mayor. That's what we just watched.
Let me just...
God damn, all right. Lightfoot served as mayor through 2020, which saw riots across the United States and defund the police movement. That was a movement that destabilized several cities, including Chicago, as well as the pandemic, which saw Lightfoot partying in the streets after Biden's victory in 2020, and just days later, re-implementing lockdown measures ahead of Thanksgiving. According to Chicago Sun-Times, quote, violent crimes in the city spiked by 40% since she promised during her inaugural address to end the epidemic of gun violence that devastates families, shatters communities, holds their hostages to fear in their own homes. Of course she didn't deliver on that. What the fuck do you think she would? This bitch went out and got her fucking hair done while she was telling you to stay home. Her, Gretchen Whitmer, which is really funny, right? Because she's a mayor. But when you think back to just, like, the worst leadership during the pandemic, she's right up there with fucking governors, dude. You think of, like, Gretchen Whitmer. Think of the power disparity between the assholes that come to mind, right? You get Governor Whitmer. Fucking, I met this bitch, right? I worked at a black suit and tie restaurant in a dump we call downtown Ann Arbor. We call Ann Arbor a dump to begin with. But she came into this very fancy restaurant, a very historical building. And first off, my grandpa was already a nurse. Now, he didn't die from getting COVID, but, you know, he was a nurse for a few years and, you know, took care of him. Lived for multiple years in nursing home without any issues. And then I'm banned from going to the nursing home, and I would go in before and after work to take care of him. You know, feed him, you know, make sure that he was fed and everything was taken care of. Look at his charts, make sure that, you know, his checklists were carried out, that he had a clean set on it. Because, you know, these nursing homes, they never really follow up. And it's all too often that people just get dumped when you're supposed to be involved. So, all of a sudden, I'm not allowed to go in. And then, within about 5 months of the lockdowns, he dies. And they won't necessarily tell us what he passed away from. We got it later on. We had to fucking work our asses off and then get a... anyway, that's a lot of details. We get people involved, and we got the footage, or, well, not the footage, we got the details. He asphyxiated. He was left to eat on his own, and no one was watching him, and with dementia, you know, he's eating, he just shoved a big thing of, you know, peas and shit down his throat, and no one got there in time. So, you know, I already didn't fucking like her, right? So I'm staying in the back of the house, completely avoiding going outside as hard as I fucking can. Actually, if you can find it, if you go on my Spotify, it's on there somewhere. I used to label shit the date, not what the episode was about. But I went on a fucking rant about this the day after it happened. I was livid. And, you know, she comes into the back of the fucking house and is like, hi, everyone. Yeah, fucking cunt. And she tells us to call her Big Gretch. She's like, oh, don't call me Gretchen. Only don't call me Miss Whitmer. It's Big Gretch. Just call me Big Gretch. Just call me Big. Oh, fucking bitch, fucking bitch. I vanished. I said, fuck this. I'm gonna get fired. And I vanished. I had a cigarette. This is 2020. I had a cigarette out by the dumpsters. came back in, that cunt vanished. But you got, like, Cuomo, Whitmer, de Blasio, and Lightfoot. These four fucks. Right? All different positions. Mayor, senator, governor, mayor, two mayors, and two governors. Right? Are just the fucking worst hires you can think of during the pandemic. Chicago mayor defends getting her hair cut amid coronavirus pandemic. I really hate these people. And specifically, the fucking leadership we had during the pandemic. Every ounce of it, from Trump to life to all that. I have nothing but fucking... what am I looking for? Deep admiration for these people. But enough of me ranting about shit no one cares about. Let's hear this wretched whore talk.
Lashed out and used humor to try and get people to stay at home to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Debbie, getting your roots done is not essential.
But a photo that surfaced on social media showing the mayor after getting a trim has some asking, what about me? The mayor was asked at least twice about the haircut this afternoon.
I'm out in the public eye, and, you know, I'm a person who, I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said,
First off, let's just approach this from a PR stunt, right? You want to look, as a politician, you want to look personable, relatable, like someone that the average person could look to, could get along with, right? One of the reasons why people voted for George Bush the first time and the second time was because they felt like they could get a beer with him. Right? So you could, if you had half a fucking brain for PR, but, you know, leave it to me, the hook nose, I come with a fucking PR strategy for you. Maybe look disheveled. And furthermore, bitch, you're really trying to look good? Quit looking like yourself. But, just a fucking idea for you, sweetheart. Or, let's say, just an average-looking woman, right? And also this fucking special-looking hands lady next to you. But, let's say you were, you know, like a 7. Let's say you were a 6.5 above-average-looking woman, right? And you're the mayor, nothing else about you is different other than your looks, right? You know it would benefit you to look fucked up, right? If you went out there with your hair all fucked up, looking like you got a haircut at home, it was all screwy and shit, it would make you look like you're dealing with this shit like the rest of us are, all dirty and nasty and whatnot. But no. You had to, not only did you go get your hair cut done, you had the barbershop open up just for you, right? Using the money you make off your job as a tax-paid public servant. After you had the public shut down, dispos were open, strip clubs were open, liquor stores were open, but churches and schools and non-hospital clinics were shut down. Right! Cunt. But, yeah, it would be a good PR look for you to come out looking all nasty with fucked up facial hair and like, you know, like a fucked up looking haircut. Come out and be like, look, all the barbershops are closed, right? Like, I know my camera, I'm doing the best I got with what I got, but I mean, hell. If it wasn't for filters, your guys' selfies wouldn't look too good either. And you'd get everybody laughing, they'd be ha-ha-ha-ha, yucking it up. People like me would make fun of you and poke fun at you're fucking trying to be, you know, connecting with us. But it'd be a little bit more genuine than you being like, look, I'm on TV. I have to be in front of the cameras. I'm one of the elites, and you're one of the spectators watching. So, of course, I have to look on fleek. Is it a thing yet? Did I make it a thing?
Haircut this afternoon.
I'm out in the public eye, and, you know, I'm a person who, I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut.
She says,
do sign language people have to make the fucking faces?
Person cutting her hair wore gloves and a mask in the photo that was posted was one of the few she has taken with anyone since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Earlier today, the mayor was at Soldier Field to announce a new campaign to try and use Chicago's professional athletes' fame to help spread the word to stay home.
But why did you do this at the stadium? Like, the amount of taxpayer dollars that went into this, which could have been done in your office over Zoom. Oh, God, this takes me to an uncomfortable fucking time. And you know what's really funny? I know Ukraine-Russia thing hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking at this right here just like...
Let's do our part. Let's stick together. Let's stay home and help save lives.
The mayor also says warm weather is no excuse to congregate in parks or on streets. She also plans on enforcing social distancing at stores that remain open while the stay-at-home order is in effect.
We are sending inspectors out. We will demand that you do this. And if you do not, we will shut you down.
Gee, I wonder why you didn't get reelected.
Now, the governor this afternoon was asked about Mayor Lightfoot's decision to give a haircut during this stay-at-home order. He didn't really allow himself to go down that road. However, he did say now is a time that we all need to make sacrifices and that he himself has not gotten a haircut. We're live.
He's like, I'm not throwing away PR like that. Are you stupid? Oh, boy. It's just not good, is it? Lightfoot. We already read all this, so that leads us into the next part of this story. You know what? It's a half hour long already. I'm going to wrap it up here, but I'm going to get right onto recording this episode right here. So, you know what? Fuck. I meant to go here for this. This is actually the last article. So sorry. So this is from National Review with a... right lean on it. Lori Lightfoot's True Historic Achievement by Jeffrey Belair. I read with great amusement Noah Rothman's piece about the resounding rejection delivered by Chicago voters to Lori Lightfoot on Tuesday, despite her historic achievements as mayor of the city. I can only add that while Noah's listening... While Noah's listing of Lightfoot's accomplishments in office are impressively thorough, violent crime up, arrest down, corporations fleeing the city, and etc., it is by no means comprehensive. For Lightfoot's greatest achievement, her mystery achievement, if you will, is in fact relevant to her status as progressive African-American lesbian and the churlish, and it is churlish of Noah to deny her credit for it. To be more specific, this achievement lies in her being a progressive Chicago Democrat and an African-American lesbian politician who somehow managed to lose the support of the progressive Democrat African-American female and LGBTQ communities. It's unsporting of commentators such as Rothman to try and take that away from her, especially at a time like this. This article, this little brief ditty here, that's all I have to say, and I just love the spiffy of it. I read this article, and I got this big fucking Cheshire Cat ear grin from ear to ear, this big-ass grin just reading that. Yeah. She resoundingly lost everyone. She lost the black vote, the Hispanic vote. She lost everybody's vote. It was a hodgepodge of largely wealthy white Democrats who turned out for Lori Lightfoot. Meanwhile, everyone else literally went for the people who were saying, yeah, we're going to hire more cops. Or, yeah, we're going to, you know, start arresting people. And the two people said, yeah, we're going to start arresting people. And the one Democrat said, yeah, you know, there's some stuff in these libraries and these schools we don't like. Yeah. And now, mind you, these are Democrats. They're not Republicans. I don't get the big, like, yay, we got rid of Lori Lightfoot. Yay. You replaced a fucking crazy Democrat with a potentially less crazy Democrat. It's not exactly like a reform win. Now, if you're in Chicago, it's an upgrade, absolutely. But, you know... again, it's very dubious in nature, but Lori Lightfoot's gone, and I think Chicago had to hit rock fucking bottom, and it did. Lori Lightfoot was that rock fucking bottom. She even looked like a chick you'd wake up to next to in a meth house, look over, see her, and then realize what you've done for drugs and maybe even find God in rehab. Like she's that kind of a chick, right? So Chicago got up, shook itself off, and said, like, well, now we can only go from here, right? Right? Fucking knock on wood, I'll be rooting for you, Chicago. I have a friend of mine, I'll just call her Madge for short. She lives out in Chicago, she's got a family out there, and she loves the city. She tells me how wonderful it is, and every time I go out there, like, I've had a very intimate relation with Detroit and out in the outskirts of Detroit. I've also grown up in a couple cities, you know. For a couple years I was in a pretty decent community, and then I ended up moving to a less decent community later on in life, but, you know. Chicago is way scarier than anywhere I've ever been. And, like, I've never, like, lived in deep Detroit or, like 7 Mile or any of that shit. And honestly, more like Gratch and Romulus, like, those areas, you know, Pinckney and Inkster. These are areas that, like, outside of Michigan never get talked about, but they're, like, bad. Like, bad. Like meth break-ins and people getting stabbed with screwdrivers type shit. Redneck bad in Pinckney. And Inkster is, like, blown out ghetto bad. Real bad shit. Detroit's worse. Like, I was out there. Like, there's footage on my Rumble. I was out there and I filmed riots. Like, I filmed shit on fire. Bro. Shit I have never seen here. In Ypsilanti, Detroit, and Lansing all had riots, but... Well, the Lansing riots were a joke, but... The Detroit ones were alright. I mean, like, they're not good or alright. I mean, they were a little bit more serious than the ones in Lansing, but still... No, man, like, Chicago fucking sucks. I don't know why my friends continues to live out there. I've quit going out to visit. I have, so when it comes to Illinois, I have a friend who stays in Chicago, like I said, but I have family on Rockford. Rockford is a pretty rough chunk. It's like a suburb, rundown, kind of like Section 8 area outside Chicago. Lakefront area, and that, like, that's about as close to Detroit as I'll go, or close to Chicago as I'll fucking go, and even then, it's been a couple years. I have no interest in going out to Chicago. It is such a dump, and I would rather, like, I'd rather live in Detroit than Chicago, personally. Detroit gets a really bad rep for no reason anymore, and I get it. I get, like, why it had the rep it did, but, like Detroit's really done a big-ass turnaround and comeback. Like, it's not fully, I'm not, like, trying to say it's, like, fucking fantabulous or anything, but, you know, Detroit's on its way back. Detroit's had, and the only reason I'm bringing up Detroit, right, is, you know, we had Kilpatrick. Kilpatrick was bad. Like, he was really bad for Detroit. And then we got Duggan. Duggan, he came in, he was a Democrat, kind of the same feel here. You know, crime, violence, robbery, shooting, all kinds of shit just spiked to record highs. Like, under Kilpatrick, Detroit was at its worst. Easily. Then, you know, you get Duggan. Or Duggan. Duggan comes in. He's a Democrat. Everyone's like, just replace a Democrat with a Democrat. I mean, like, are we going to see any differences? And to Duggan's surprise, yeah, he's done a lot of really, really good shit. Even doing a lot of, like, Reach Across the Aisle stuff, where he's brought in, like, people on the right, he's brought in some people from the left, so on and so forth. Like, I was roasting him pretty decently earlier. Craig. Chief Craig. Police Chief Craig. He was a great police chief. You know, as far as it goes, just a reference here is, I can't remember who the celebrity was, but it was a Detroit celebrity who got pulled over, and the cop let him go without giving him the speeding ticket. Because this guy was famous, and then Craig, the next day, went out, gave the guy a ticket, and fired the cop. And, like, made a public statement where the police department apologized to the city for not doing its job properly. So that's when he came to my radar with that one. So maybe, you know, Chicago will be on a similar story, right? You know, sure, you're going from one Democrat to the next, but, you know, perhaps in increments, this will slowly work its way out to being a better place. I'm perpetually optimistic, I guess. But that being said, I want to wrap it up here. This has been Inside Four Walls. I'm James Madison. I got a couple more episodes to crank out. Come back for the next episode, which will be all about this. So until next time, I've been James Madison, and I'll catch you all later. Peace.
We will arrest you, and we will take you to jail. Period.
F*** you. You're cool.
Yay.
F*** you, I'm out.